Welcome to the Lead Defend Podcast, a show designed to help you grow in faith and leadership as you navigate the stages of young adulthood. We address important faith topics and provide practical life tips, helping you build up your faith as you engage a changing culture. Now, here are your hosts.
Hey, this is Ryan and Brock. We have Ken Witten with us. Ken, man, you are just a hero to so many folks. You pastored for many years at Idlewild Baptist Church in Florida, and now serve with North American Mission Board. Tell us about your role now.
I did. Well, you know, I pastored a church. It's two names you don't want in any Baptist church, Idle and Wild, and I had them both, frankly, Idlewild Baptist Church. Lazy, crazy Baptist church. But 33 just wonderful, wonderful years, Jenny wow. and I raising our four kids and 13 grandkids, of course, and they're still very active and active in ministry and doing some stuff. My daughter's a Southwestern graduate and discipleship leader to girls. And my son's in the inner city ministry that I created and still do. And,
okay.
And then I have another son that works in that ministry. And then, of course, I have a son that's a financial planner. And then my daughter married a next-gen pastor. And my son-in-law is... He's at First Cleveland with Jordan Easley.
Oh, yes.
One of the teaching Very pastors cool. there, Kelly Knaus, and,
yeah.
and a incredible communicator. So I've been a real blessed guy. My new role now at North American Mission Board is called the National Director of Pastoral Leadership. And if you can tell me what that is, I'll be really,
be
really grateful. I know this. I love pastors. I was a pastor, and I still am. And 1,700 pastors will walk away.
Wow.
In America this month, 41.
This month.
47 percent of the people pastoring right now are thinking about it. And 51% of that 47% are in mainline denominations. So this is all denominations, of course, walking away. So there's a lot of discouragement, unmet expectations. But you know, for us who really lock in on the gospel.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's good news for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not good news for the preacher, it's not good news for anybody.
That's a good word.
And so, you know, we tell sometimes, I used to tell our choir, you remember what that used to be years ago, a choir. I used to say, listen, we cannot stop the song and explain to the guy in the eighth row back there why you're not smiling. You're going to have to sing in faith.
Wow.
Sometimes preachers have to preach in faith.
That's
we just
right.
have to go, you know what? He's got this because he's got me. And I'm going to just, I got to get above sea level, and I'm going to walk by faith. And but we have the truth, we have the word, we have the victory.
Yeah.
We have a lot of reason to celebrate and rejoice.
Absolutely.
And tell people the good news.
So being in one place for 33 years, you're talking about the discouragement that people are seeing now. What's it like to lead in one place for 33 years?
Well, you kind of go through cycles. You know, it's like every 7 years they tell you people change churches. So I watched that four times. People change churches.
So you pastored four churches in that
well,
33
years. And we built, you know, $100 million worth of buildings, and we relocated twice in 12 years.
Wow.
So it went from Saturday night, three Sunday mornings, Sunday night, Wednesday night to,
adaptation.
You know, and then a few years ago, no Sunday night and still have Wednesday night, but they have a new pastor now. And so my spiritual daddy was Dr. Adrian Rogers. And some people still know his name and legend in many, many ways. But he used to say, listen, you want them asking why, not when. You know, if they ask, when are you leaving? It's like, okay, you waited too long.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
You understand, why are you, why? And,
yeah.
and I just felt like God was ready for another season in my life.
Absolutely.
Plus, at my age, 22 of my pastors were right along my age with us, but been doing ministry together. And we were one day going to look around that table and say, we're getting older, and where's our church? So I felt like leadership is leading, and I felt like the best way I could lead is to kind of set the table and say, hey, listen, this is never was my church, always been his church.
Wow.
33 years is an incredible run.
Praise God.
And so God kind of led, and he said, you shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace, and that's what we did.
That's great. And how many years in ministry total?
I started in 1976. So,
okay.
What would that be, 47 years?
Yeah, coming up to 50.
Yeah.
Now, 50 years of ministry. Uh-huh. Tell us about how you knew God called you to ministry.
Well, you know, the Bible says the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter the full day.
Wow.
I can tell you this. It was not a white flag, hold up, I surrender. It was like as the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. So how does it get to be light from darkness? Well, mm-hmm. slowly, gradually. It's dark 30, and then all of a sudden it's gray dawn. And I'm telling you, before you know it, it's high noon. Hmm. And it started out like, God, I think you might want me to go to ministry.
Yeah.
You know, God, I believe you might want to go to ministry. And then as it got stronger and stronger, it was, God, I'm going to ministry. And if you don't want me to go, you better stop it. And so Romans 8:9, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're the Son of God, and God's Spirit began to direct. And it's easier to guide a moving vessel than one sitting still. So mm-hmm. I tell young people, listen, if you can do anything but ministry, do it.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, if God's called you to do ministry, you won't be able to do anything
else. Can't do anything else.
And not with the full joy.
Wow.
And so it just became, okay, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to take one step, and God's word is a lamp into my feet, a light into my path. And so that's kind of what it is. It's a lamp, so you don't have to see very far, but it's a light when you do need to see far. Yeah. God's word helps you see today and tomorrow as well.
So obviously to be in God's word, but how else would you encourage a young person to discern a potential call to ministry?
You know, I think when God calls people, especially like, let's talk about preaching for a moment mm-hmm. and pastoring. And not everybody's called to be a pastor.
Sure.
Right.
Some gals are called in ministry, and they're called to be disciple makers and women's ministry and student ministry and to communicate in their giftings that they are. But I will say this. When God calls a man or a woman, when he calls somebody to hear him to receive that call.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy said, I think God's called me to preach. Let me tell you my question. Has God called anybody to hear you? because a lot of, you know, you think you got called.
Sure.
So I think you have to, you know, you test the Spirit. And I think, here's the thing. John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he will know. Jesus said, whether I speak truth about my Father.
Wow.
And notice the progression here. If any man will do his will, he'll know. He didn't say you know and then you do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So I had a sign check, blank check, with my yes on the table. God, the answer is yes. Hmm. Now, let me know. I'm going to do it. Let me know. So I think that spirit of, you know, I'm going to do it. I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's here, there, or somewhere else. But I'm going in, and I'm going all the way. And that was my testimony. That's been the testimony of a lot of people going to ministry.
You mentioned the joy of the ministry. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything else without full joy. How have you kept joy in ministry all these years?
Well, you know, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
That's right.
And first of all, you got to distinguish between what the difference is, joy and happiness.
Mm-hmm. Right?
If your happenstance happens to be happy, you're going to be happy.
And you're a Florida State fan, so you had a lot of years without happiness.
Listen, we had a lot of years. Thank you for that reminder and that prayer request as well.
He's
and then
walk
about
out.
The time we did have joy, 13-0, we started not having joy again. And you remember that story, right?
Yikes.
But listen, joy is one of those things that Paul showed us in the Philippians. The book is really about Jesus. It's not about joy, but joy is right in the middle of it. And that Jesus, Others, and You acronym is so appropriate. It starts with Jesus, ends with Jesus. But I think what Paul was trying to say is, listen, everything that's happened to me, I can have joy because it happened, he said, for three reasons. One, he said, for the fellowship of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on later and said, it's happened to advance the gospel or the mm-hmm. furtherance of the gospel. So if we can see everything happening to us for the fellowship of the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel, and then later on in that same first chapter, he says, and by the way, the faith of the gospel. He uses those words, faith of the gospel. So if I can lock in that, hey, listen, everything happening in my life today is Father filtered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't, you might get to me and steal my happiness, but let me tell you something, joy runs so deep that you can't get to it because it's there, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God's word reminds me. And I may not smile today like I might be smiling tomorrow, but let me tell you something. Joy is an attitude of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty obvious today as we see our culture. Everybody's angry.
Yeah.
Everybody's yelling at each other on social posts. They're yelling at each other. And So you take a young believer, a college student, someone in ministry, somebody starting out, and somebody full of joy, they're going to stick out like a like a sore, not really a sore thumb. They're going to stick out, and it's going to be a great look to that.
I love how you said father filtered. I mean, there's filters for everything these days, and father filtered is a good one.
So as we're thinking about, you know, that call, let's say you have someone, all right, they think they're convinced, they feel that joy of ministry, they feel this passion that maybe God is calling me to do this. They're just not really sure where to start. They've heard about Bible colleges, they've heard about seminary, they've heard about residencies, all these different avenues to take. Someone that's feeling they're at ground zero, step one, what steps should they start taking to pursue this call of ministry?
Well, Jesus said, if you're faithful in little things, you're going to be faithful in big things. So I think you got to do the little things real well.
What would some of those little things be?
I think your character, you start with your character. Hmm. Your reputation is what people know about you. The character is what the angels say to each other in heaven about you. Your reputation is the photograph, but the character is the real person.
Yeah.
My spiritual daddy used to say to me, Dr. Rogers, he used to say that, he said, I noticed a bunch of people who started ministry and they dropped out. And he said, and I noticed a pattern in everyone. I wrote all their names down. He said, here's what I noticed. Those are the same people that took books out of the library without checking it out. They parked in handicapped parking spots. They just didn't think the rules fit them.
Wow.
And so I think in ministry, you know, if you take care of your character, God will take care of your reputation. But you have to start and start there, and you start small and let God build it. And then understand this. In ministry, there's going to be seasons. Mm-hmm. There's a winter. There's a fall. There's a spring. There's a summer. You're going to have seasons of ministry in your life, and you just have to kind of stay with it. Galatians says, you know, stay with it, and you'll bear the fruit. If you faint not.
Yeah.
And so if I was a student, I felt like maybe God might be calling me, I would try to, first of all, be faithful. Faithful in your quiet time. Faithful in teaching where you can in your small group.
Yeah.
And then ask some other people. As that person, you have a Paul. All of us should have a Paul. We should have a Timothy. Mm-hmm. We should have a Barnabas.
Yeah.
And then everybody needs a Nathan, right? So a guy with a long pointy finger saying, thou art the man. Ask them, what do you think? Do you think God's calling me? And be ready to listen for that. And then, of course, if you're not married, one of the greatest authorities in your life that God's going to speak to is your dad, is your mom, is your parents. Mm-hmm. Ask them, do you think God's calling me to the ministry?
Yeah. What should a student do? Because we've got some college students previously being in middle school ministry, student ministry. They go to mom and dad and be like, well, yeah, that's fine, but let's get a degree that you can actually make some money in first. What if, you know, parents maybe even see some of those qualities, but they don't necessarily right off the bat get that encouragement, that affirmation that they're looking for from mom and dad, because mom and dad have this mind, well, you're not going to make any money in ministry, or that's just not their hopes for their kids.
You know, every parent, really, at the bottom line, and they may have their desires, what they want, what they see, who they marry, and yes, they want them to be secure financially, and maybe too much so as a parent.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, as a son or a daughter that feels like God's dealing with them, respect authority and stay under authority. You'll never be over till you're under. Where God does not rule, he overrules. And so with that spirit of saying, you know, Mom, Dad, I know you want me to be financially secure, but I know this. I know you also want me to be full of joy and in God's will. And I want to be in God's will. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And I think if you just be a little patient, they will see you. They'll see you in your misery saying, hey, you know, he's just not happy. And he's not going to be happy till he's doing what God's called him to be and called him to do. They're going to come around when they see you being obedient and saying, hey, okay, if you want me to go to school? I'll go to school. Because I believe that God can speak through you.
Yeah.
Like rivers of water, God can take that. The king's, what's it say? The prophet said, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like rivers of water, he can turn it wherever he's with. He can do that with a parent.
Yeah.
But your character is real, real important, because we're talking about the gospel here. And we're talking about how long God will use us.
Yeah. Yeah.
33 years at Idlewild, 15-ish years of ministry before that. How did you discern when God was moving you from one place to another?
Well, you could tell in 33 years I didn't go very many places.
That's right.
So.
That's right. Well, even how did you discern? How did you know to stay?
Because I'm sure you got other offers, people requesting to go different places, other opportunities. How do you know to stay? How do you know to go?
You know, I've never really made a major decision in my life, whether it was marriage or ministry or moving, that I didn't feel like that God was going to speak a rhema from the Logos, the Word of God. But then there's this word to you. And sometimes you have to just kind of wait. And it's not the lucky dip where you open it up and you kind of keep finding until you find something you like. But I really do believe the way you know is you just continue to walk in it, and God begins to guide. Circumstances start happening. God starts using people. And if you're married, He's going to use your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If He's going to use your parents, He's going to use your friends, He's going to use your pastor. And so I've tried to never focus on where, but who.
Mm-hmm.
I've never tried to focus on how many.
Mm.
I just think that we get caught up in the numbers game.
Sure.
And those things. But I think God has called us not to be successful as much as it called us to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you stay until you know,
mm-hmm.
and you ask God to let you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm telling you, He will.
What's the benefit of serving in one place for a long season?
Man, it's dedicating now the grandkids of the people that you married.
Yeah, so fun.
There's a lot of benefit, really there is. First of all, they take on your personality, number one, after about 5 years. And then as you grow, the church grows, you grow with them, and you change, and they change. And it's just a metamorphosis of them seeing you change. And they're saying, Pastor, you know, you're kinder. You preach with more depth. And I'm saying, I'm not 35 years old anymore. And there should be a depth coming. So I think one of the advantages is watching life change at every level, watching a community, and getting involved in your community, because people don't trust you right away.
Yeah.
It takes a while to build some trust
and
build staff with that.
Yeah, Ken, I know we're talking a lot about your tenure. The
right
direction we were going to take is more call, but I think it's helpful for people at the beginning to have a vision of the end.
Absolutely.
And especially in a day where you've already alluded to the fact that ending your career in ministry like you started it, people are abandoning the call or feeling called to other things. Or, man, we see a lot of headlines of people failing out of ministry, falling. Would you give a word to those at the starting line of what they need to do to make it to the finish line?
Well, first of all, you don't finish at the end of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You finish every day of your life.
Okay.
So when I came to Idlewild, I did not go there to build a big church. Mm-hmm. You need to understand that was not the vision. That was not the headline. I went there to reach people for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I did that when I went to college at Eastern Illinois University, playing college baseball. I was always hungry for wanting to reach people with the gospel. And so I went to Tampa loving the city and asking God to put the city on my heart and to love the city. And that's exactly what we've done. That's why we're in every school. That's why our inner city ministries are blowing up and doing things, because we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so I think you look back over your shoulder and you realize, wow, have I really walked this long and I've walked this far? And the answer is yes. And I think it's because you just kind of did the little things well, and you just kept doing little things.
Wow.
And it's got valleys to it, and it's got mountains to it, and you can't let the valley so bottom you out that you quit. You can't get so high on the mountain that you don't need Him.
Mm-hmm.
I think accountability is big.
Yeah.
So I think all along in ministry, you can never say, listen, that applies to them, but not me.
Right.
You got to have somebody calling sin out in your life as well.
Absolutely.
If you're going to finish strong, somebody needs to say, Pastor, was that story true? Was there a little exaggeration to it? Or and you're going, what? No, mostly true. No, no, but you told us it was not mostly true.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and so I think having some people that love you enough, you can have a lot of those people, but you need to have some people that you can That's do life word. With. And that will help you finish strong. You know, we can run faster by ourselves, but we can run farther with somebody else.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so key here, guys, that we're talking about evangelism and the gospel, that we have the best news to give people. And I would just, I would say this about evangelism. I have seen it transform, and I've seen it change a little bit. And it's been a good change, by the way.
Yeah.
I think there's a generation today that's not so much into presentation as they are conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I think that's a great step to have. It's okay to know the Roman road, four spiritual laws, faith, whatever you use.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with having a map of knowing where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, a conversation is more effective because the conversation keeps it in context.
Yeah.
You imagine walking up to somebody on a chairlift and saying, if you died today, do you know where you'd spend the rest of your life? And this guy you're on the slopes with, he's looking at you like, are you going to shove me off right now? What are you talking about? Okay, if I died today, what kind of question is that? Right.
If you died today.
But conversations about the gospel are easier to have them than you might think they are.
Yeah. That's good.
One final word to young adults.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I would say that to young adults, I would say stay pure, stay holy, tell the story. They're not saved by your life.
Yeah.
They're saved by his death.
Yeah.
You've got to verbalize the story.
Yeah.
If you ask me, how would you define evangelism?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's one beggar telling another beggar where food is, because 2 Kings 7 says that Syria overcame Samaria, you remember? And then later on in that 7th chapter, it said that the Syrians weren't there, and there were four lepers, and they decided to go into Syria. And they said, well, if we go in, they're going to kill us. But he said, if we stay out here and die, we're lepers, we're hungry, we're going to die.
Yeah.
And they went in, they found out that the Syrians weren't there because God caused them to leave with vain imaginations, thinking they had heard the Egyptians and heard some Hittites. So they leave, and they find all this gold and the silver and garments and food, and they go to the next place, and they eat again, and they eat again, and they went, this is great. And then finally one of them says, listen, what we're doing is not right. And this is what they said in 2 Kings 7. This is the day of good news. Sound familiar?
Wow.
The gospel. And if we keep it to ourselves till morning, evil will come upon us.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, one beggar telling another beggar where food is. Mm-hmm. I'd say, tell everybody you know about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Some are going to receive it, some aren't, but it's still the best story we could ever tell.
Amen.
Well, Ken, thank you so much for joining us.
You.
This has been the Lead Defend podcast. Lead Defend is always around the corner, and we can't wait to see you at leaddefend.org.
That's it for this episode of Lead Defend. To hear more episodes from the Lead Defend crew, visit absc.org/podcasts. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcast listening site. Want to learn more information about the next Lead Defend conference? Visit leaddefend.org.